Today, Rinpoche gave a very clear explanation of the general definition of afflictions and the specific definitions of the 10 afflictions and how they relate to one another.
So again, we're looking at Lama Tsongkhapa's great treatise on the stage of the path to enlightenment, and specifically the section dealing with training the mind in the stage of the path shared in common with beings of medium capacity. So looking at the major outline of that section, we find there are four categories. First, the mental training. Second category, the measure of the determination to be free. The third category, dispelling misconceptions. And then the fourth category, which is ascertaining the nature of the path leading to liberation. So the first category, the mental training, we find there's two categories, the actual mental training. Identifying the mental training has two categories, identifying the mind intent on liberation, and then the method for developing the mind intent on liberation. So when we get to the method for developing the mind intent on liberation, we find two categories. First, reflection on suffering and its origin, and then reflection from the viewpoint of the 12 links of dependent origination. So looking then at reflection on suffering and its origin, we find the two categories, reflection on the truth of suffering, the faults of cyclic existence, and then reflection on the process of cyclic existence in terms of its origin. So when we get to the category reflection on the truth of suffering, the faults of cyclic existence, there are two categories. First, showing the significance of Buddha's asserting the truth of suffering is the first of the four truths, and then the actual meditation on suffering. The actual meditation on suffering has two categories, reflection on the universal suffering of cyclic existence, and then reflection on the specific sufferings of cyclic existence. And with that universal suffering, we found the suffering of the eight types of suffering, the six types of suffering, and the three types of suffering. So then we finished the section on the specific sufferings, and now we've arrived at reflection on suffering, the shuguga kabiyare.
Tawa de saji jina wate niba kunyu kune saba saji to lose chi and then as the lari chavan jonamara niba kunyu ku jure sampa la son red or nyomuji tu less of you chiboa tua lam tu and then nyomobi wanga nyomoba ji tu tiunga lesa. Les on call Kune, Jewat and Chipoha, what is soon do soon. No more what ye two less, they less will be two, Chipoha, Jewalem, two soon jay. That number, no more what ye two to la, no more was what jet that jay is in bar. Then no more be you, no more be near me. What is it in those, your mother? No more be near me, jay. That number, no more.
We'll be, look at page 298 in the English. So if everybody wants to turn to that. And we're going to begin at the section on reflection on the process of cyclic existence in terms of origin. The Shuku Nicha Garden. The Nyomo bi Jetsu, the Ewa Jie Chan Lapsum.
So we begin on page 298, reflection on the process of cyclic existence in terms of its origin. So it's divided into three categories. First, how the afflictions arise, how you thereby accumulate karma, and then how you die and are reborn. So the first category, how the afflictions arise, we find that there will be four points that are made: the identification of the afflictions, the order in which they arise, the causes of the afflictions, and then the faults of the afflictions. So that first category, identifying the afflictions, begins with Asanga's Compendium of Knowledge, and we find the general definition of affliction. And then we get into specific definitions of the 10 afflictions. And when we look at the 10 afflictions, we find that 5 of them are views and 5 of them are non-view. So we begin with the general definition of affliction, and it states an affliction is defined as a phenomenon that when it arises is disturbing in character, and that through arising disturbs the mind stream. So this is a mental factor, and it's that which disturbs the mind stream when it occurs. And then we get into the specific definitions. And those specific definitions begin with the first 5 that are non-view, and that's attachment, hostility, pride, ignorance, and doubt. And then the next 5 are all view. The reifying view of the perishing aggregates, an extremist view, a belief in the supremacy of wrong views, a belief in the supremacy of ethics and religious discipline, and then wrong view, making for the 5 more that are actual view, making for a total of 10 definitions, individual definitions of afflictions. Deeksum.
So we're going to now look at the Chemo and
read it.
Ta lari chimbo what the pei jena ane ni ja song ju suni ge wo li ya chen ji ba ndo wa. Ni ba kun ju ge ne ku ju ren sang ba la song. Ta dong ba sa ji su dong sa ji song dong ba de ren do wa. Ni mo
Okay, so we have reflection on the process of cyclic existence in terms of its origin. The origin of cyclic existence is explained in three parts: how the afflictions arise, how you thereby accumulate karma, and then how you die and are reborn. So the first category, how the afflictions arise, Jayan Shaiva states that there are three categories. The first category is that the afflictions are the root of cyclic existence because they are the they are necessary in order for one to take birth in cyclic existence. What that means is it's necessary to have karma and afflictions in order to have a rebirth in cyclic existence. But the afflictions are primary because they serve as the cooperating condition that allows for the arisal of a rebirth in cyclic existence. So if they are not present, it's not possible to have a rebirth in cyclic existence. And we find the case of an arhat who in many previous lifetimes accumulated non-virtuous seeds, accumulated the propelling karma to be born into cyclic existence. But they no longer have afflictions. They no longer have attachment. So, because the cooperating condition isn't present, there can't be the arisal
of cyclic existence. And that cooperating condition is the affliction. So the foe destroyer lacks those conditions, which are the afflictions, and therefore he or she can't be born into cyclic existence, even though they still have the karma, they still have that throwing karma for a rebirth in cyclic existence, but that cooperating condition is not there. So the first category in Jayan Sheva's outline is that the afflictions are the primary when it comes to the creation of cyclic existence or the causes for cyclic existence. That's the first category. The second category is that one needs to abandon these afflictions. So it's necessary to apply some sort of an antidote and abandon these afflictions. And then a third category is the full understanding of the afflictions. So let's read now the part that Jayan Sheva states is the first category. How the afflictions arise. Karma and the afflictions are both necessary as causes for the creation of cyclic existence, but the afflictions are primary. For just as a seed without moisture, soil, etc. will not produce a sprout, so in the absence of the afflictions, even though you have accumulated immeasurable karma in the past, there will be no sprout of suffering because the karma lacks the necessary cooperating conditions. Further reason, afflictions are primary. Even without previously accumulated karma, if afflictions are present, you will immediately accumulate new karma and will thereby appropriate aggregates in the future. Similarly, Dharmakirti's commentary on the Compendium of Valid Cognition says, so this is a quote from Dharmakirti's Paramavartika Karika, and it states, the karma of one who has transcended craving for existence lacks the potency to project another birth because its cooperating conditions are gone. So here in the case of the foe destroyer, here existence is referring to cyclic existence, and foe destroyer no longer has attachment, no longer has craving. Therefore, the cooperating condition isn't present, so therefore the karma that he or she has lacks the potency to project another rebirth, and that potency isn't present because the afflictions aren't there which serve as the cooperating conditions. And then it says, and also because the aggregates will arise again if you have craving. So if you have not abandoned attachment, then you will necessarily accumulate a new karma and then take on a birth. So if you have those afflictions still present, you will necessarily accumulate new karma, and therefore you will necessarily have rebirth into cyclic existence because the aggregates will rise again. This refers to one will have a rebirth in cyclic existence again if those afflictions are present. That's where we stopped. Okay, Diksa Rinpoche.
Yeah. What the judge will teach the new movie, never never catch a law. They are new mobile. Shibala Ralebe, new mobile Kiba show the new patri, never what the antidote is at what they use on it. That's one by new mobile goes on at the law, new more.
So the second category is the need to abandon the afflictions. So it says, consequently, it is very important to rely on a remedy for the afflictions. So that's the second category, the need to apply some sort of an antidote. And then the third category is the one needs to understand the afflictions or an understanding of the afflictions. Moreover, since this requires understanding the afflictions, you should become knowledgeable about the afflictions. There are four parts to this. Identifying the afflictions, the order in which they arise, the causes of the afflictions, and the faults of the afflictions.
Deekson. Nyamashi is saying that what the shoes on to Sana, what the Sanga could do to some of
those,
and sat down at the Donani, Donani, the water could do in the Marbe, could do some of those, or that Nyamabi saying there, Kuli, Chukan, Chukan, Joana, Roto, Maji, saying to Jode, Tayson, Sanji, Giroto, Maji, Wanjoa.
So we begin then with the first among the four, identifying the afflictions. And here we find a quote from Asanga's Compendium of Knowledge. Asanga wrote the five treatises on the levels, and then the two compendiums. So this is one among those two compendiums. And here we find the general definition again of the afflictions. It says, Asanga's Compendium of Knowledge gives a general definition of an affliction. An affliction is defined as a phenomena that when it arises, disturbing in character, and that through arising disturbs the mind stream. So this is the definition according to Asanga's Compendium of Knowledge. Diksum. And then Lama Tsongkhapa gives a small clarification to the quote, and it says, thus, when it is produced, it disturbs the mind stream. A little more clarification of what Asanga's definition means by the affliction being disturbing to the mind stream itself. That's the disturbing in character is what it refers to. Now we get into the individual definitions, the specific definitions of the ten afflictions, and we get the definitions of the five viewless afflictions, and then the definitions of the five afflictions that are view. And then we begin with the viewless, with attachment, hostility, pride, etc. So we begin with the definition of attachment. Attachment means noticing a pleasant or attractive external or internal object and desiring it. So it could be a car, it could be a house, it could be something that you drink, it could be something that you eat. So it says, when attachment clings to its object and grows stronger, it is hard to tear yourself away from the object, just as it is difficult to remove oil which has been soaked into a cloth.
So yoba kengalo sanje tungur bata. Wada da dasha sakanti yidu onse lindebe. Dasha ino lulu shem chas wada lagu mendoa.
The Tama Yandri Surilang, Duche Yina Lulu Shei Micha?
Dasha Yina Lulu Shei Micha Sobro.
Duche, okay.
Yidu Mwa Tung Yilu Yimba Tanchi, Dasha Yin Sayyima Dua.
Lesson.
Yidu Mwa Tung Yilu Yimba Tanchi, Dasha Yaju Yama Resi. Yidu Mwa Selin Debe. Ne Tunga Shile Jain Sayyum.
Okay.
And what the Nija Gomen Dua.
Lesson. So attachment occurs when there is an attractive object. So we find in Nagarjuna's root wisdom text where it states that if there isn't the desirous or that which is desired, then there can't be attachment. And if there isn't that which is non-desirous or not to be desired, then there can't be anger or aversion. So there needs to be this pleasant or attractive or desirous object in order for the arisal of attachment to take place. So it doesn't mean that if there is this desirous object that there is necessarily this automatic attachment that will take place. This is so that it's necessary for there to be a person involved for attachment taking place or a being, but there also it has to be a being that hasn't abandoned the afflictions. So for instance, the Buddha sees something which is desirous. The Buddha sees something which is non-desirous. Why can he or she see these things? Because they are established bases, because they are existence. So because they are existence, they are able to be cognized by the Buddha, because the Buddha cognizes all phenomenon, because they are phenomenon. They are objects which the Buddha sees. But the Buddha doesn't have the attachment, doesn't have the afflictions. So therefore, the desirous object doesn't cause this attachment to take place. So if there is desirous object cognized, there isn't necessarily attachment. But in the case of a being where the afflictions are present, then there becomes this attachment. And in the attachment itself is a wrong view or a mistaken consciousness. So because it is a mistaken consciousness, it isn't something that happens when the Buddha sees this desirous object, because the Buddha does not have mistaken cognition or mistaken views. And one more thing about attachment. Rinpoche said attachment is when we see something that is attractive. We have this happy feeling and desire it. Deeksum.
What that the new Saint Rang could then be sent on Tomba Demba, Sanjun Seni. Sanjun, what the new monk, Sanjun is on, Sanjun in the Rang could then be sent on Tomba Demba in Beijing. Sent on Tomba Demba, Sanjun, 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 Rua.
The Sam gets any drawer.
That's handle Rang could Sanjun on Tomba Demba, Sanjun. Rang could show you, Sanju Yakangi, Novasheva, the Saint Lovers. That Saint La Mig Novasheva, Nai Novasheva, Nai Novasheva, G Novasheva, Luigi Novasheva, Iji Novasheva, Truma do your Marwa. That Truma do me do, that new mood the Sanju Yina, and the Saint Drogon on the card, Kanda Tumba de Majau Kurzana, new mood Tumba de Sagi, Novasheva de Iji Sheva Matuja, Iji Sheva. Nyamuina, Ijisheva imchau. Onjil Nyamuyo Mares. Nyamuina, Ijisheva imchau du. Nyamu Gandam Soba devi, Iji Navasheva de, Iji Navasheva. Iji Navasheva Soba devajaures.
Um, Okay, so afflictions are necessarily mental factors, those are different from mind. So when we look at what mind is, we divide mind into six different types of consciousness: eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, tactile consciousness, and the mental consciousness. So there's six categories of mind. And if it is affliction, it is necessarily within the mental consciousness. So there, the physical consciousness is we don't find this affliction. We find this affliction within the mental consciousness. So when we define mind and mental factor, mind is defined as that which has a similarity with the mental factors that arise as its accompaniers. So the mental factors accompany these minds. And then the definition of a mental factor is that which has a similarity with the mind that has it as its accompanier. So it's basically like the mind is accompanied by the mental factor, and the mental factor is accompanied to it by the mind, and there's a similarity there. So that's the definition that we find for those two. Specifically, if it's an affliction, it's a mental factor, it doesn't fall under mind itself, but it occurs in the mental consciousness. When we look at the mind that accompanies it, it's a mental consciousness that accompanies it, not a physical consciousness. Okay. So the mind itself is like the mirror, and it's more like a lens. I think when Rinpoche is saying glass, he's using the word for mirror, but it's almost like a lens that cognizes this, and then the mental factors clarify the experience, or they are the experiencer part of the mind itself. So the mind the mental consciousness apprehends, and then the mental factors accompany it and then discriminate the experience, if you will, the feeling and so forth. And it's stated that when an affliction arises, there are necessarily other secondary afflictions that are present, such as lethargy, non-faith, laziness, and laziness. These accompany the affliction when it arises. The nga druk gatsi du rimche.
Nga. Mudan, pa me, lelu tang sonje.
Lelu.
Made badan, mudan ku trundo tru.
Ngu ba.
Made badan, mudan ku nyumunjan la tatu yonsa.
Mopa, you're right. Mopa, gupa, matepa, lelo, pamepa. Chik yomare. Mopa, gupa.
Mutan, pame, lelo, dan sonje.
Mu. Mutan.
Matepa, dan.
Matepa.
Mutan, gue, nido, mopa, nido.
Mopa, ni.
Gol, mopa, ji, hotel, mopa, ji, mopa, te, kaka, yuji.
There's Rinpoche is saying there's six, and there's a different type of lethargy. There's two types of lethargy. So it's lethargy, excitement, non-faith, laziness, non-conscientiousness, and then another type of lethargy. And I don't see it within this 20 secondary afflictions. Oh, here, ngutsamepa? When you say
Musa,
Yomare, okay. Mupa, Gupa, Matepa, Lelo, Pa Mepa, then Drupa.
Muta Pame Lelotan.
Muda
Matepa, Muta Gupa, Gupa.
Yeah. So there's another word, I don't see it within this Mu. It's like lethargy. So these are accompanying the affliction, accompaniers to the affliction.
Oh, the jeta, what the ne? Tanya, what on one shill, Mada Chabacariosina, Masun, Majin, Gawa, Tajinsina, one shit on Masun, your mood on one shill, Gawa in Sawu to ah.
We understand
now? Obi Shiba na, each Shiba's new Shiba. One shit, Jenny. One shit, the ne, Miki Shiba, Nai Shiba, Nai Shiba, Chi Shiba, Lucy Shiba, not one Shimarbe.
Less so.
One shit. What is your Muya Mares?
Less so.
Your Muya Him Changres. Things was on one shit on your Munya Kawares.
Less so.
Is Shiba da, your Mule? Is Shiba the Yamul Tamas Mori Marbe? Your Muya Shiba in Chow. Is Shiba in your Muya Macho?
Less so.
Jiba so much is in Dimarbe?
Less so. Musun Nyomo dan Yichi Sheba. The Ni Nyomo dan Yichi Sheba?
Nyomo dan Yichi Sheba Musore.
Okay.
Nyomo in the Yishiba Nyomo Chagumar.
Lesser.
Shanchu sent out to do.
Lesser. So when we look at the two categories of consciousness, sense consciousness and mental consciousness, afflictions fall categorically under the mental consciousness. They don't fall under sense consciousness. Afflictions and sense consciousness are mutually exclusive. They're contradictory. There's no common locus. So when we compare, though, the afflictions with mental consciousness, we'll find that there are three permutations. If it is an affliction, it is a mental consciousness. But if it is a mental consciousness, it is not necessarily an affliction. And if you were to say, posit that, which is not an affliction but a mental consciousness, you could say the mind that aspires to enlightenment, or bodhicitta. So we find that there are three permutations there. And just to go back, I'm reading another way this is explained. It says lethargy has the function of assisting all root and secondary afflictions. So that's what is meant. It assists the afflictions. So those six that were mentioned assist the afflictions. And at the break, I'll look to see if within these 20, there's a description of a sixth one that accompanies it, just to find out what that missing word is, if it's in here or not. So there are six that accompany and assist the afflictions.
Mine, kune na sembas, kune na semba yungres, na sembas karsana, sentumores, senyabumares, udala neba, neba shaw semba, udala neba shanduke, shalijan, senjuotanjil, kundulogres, marba.
So now we get to hostility or anger. It means observing origins of suffering, such as living beings, weapons, living beings, pain, weapons, or thorns, and giving rise to a harsh, tormented mind that contemplates harming these objects. So this is cognizing the non-desirous, that which is not attractive. And then it gives these examples living beings, pain, weapons, and thorns, and then one's mind wishes to harm those objects in some way that are found not to be non-desirous, that then one has aversion or anger towards. Dixon.
Control is done launch, the moon launch, what the Naja and the Sukanakan Jagras. The child launch again, the chate, and then your moon in on me. Control launch, control there, your moon in on me. The moon launch, the water to the bundle water.
The
child launch, the hung, the child launch, the moon launch, and shed on launches your water.
La,
rote.
Oh,
ma.
Oh, less so. Jula.
Dosha long to chew us.
Ale.
Dosha long to we may have come out of time. Dosha long to chew us. Control long to chew us. Or the condu de hagi long to Rusia. Dosha hagi long halangi to Rusia. Tumung halangi to Rusia. What the Mobisia Vedro. What the Sunda Katul Pakandi and water are.
But then a doubt arises because we have within the tantric vehicle the arisal of using anger as path, and attachment as path, and ignorance as path. So does that mean that the path that's arising is an affliction? So this is just something we need to think about. We find in the tantric vehicle this using anger as path, attachment as path, ignorance as path.
What the Zukatu Lord and the Tobadu was, Mazar. Here's something I make a doubt arise. That's what I get to say.
Let's say. So then number three is pride. Pride means observing either internally or externally qualities that are high, low, good, or bad, and based on the reifying view of the perishing aggregates, allowing your mind to become inflated, you assume an aspect of superiority. So these are internal or external qualities. So you might say, oh, I have so beautiful, and then have pride. Or I have these excellent qualities. I'm an excellent person. And this would be, so you think, have this thought, and then your mind becomes inflated, becomes blown up, and then this pride occurs. But it's not only when one is thinking of these excellent qualities or beauty, it's also saying, I'm the lowest person, I'm the poorest person, and then inflating your mind in that way as well, thinking that one is the worst. So this becomes pride also. So you assume an aspect of superiority, but it would also be I'm superiorly bad. So it's using that word superior, but next to a negative quality. So I'm the worst. So I think that would be the best translation. I'm the worst would also be pride. We also find the story of a Buddha previously when he was a riverboat captain, and he was on board with 500 business people, and he saw through his abilities that there was someone on board named Minaduntun. That was going. And this is a. It basically means a black person carrying a spear. The name. So it's a black black person carrying a spear. So it's just a description of the person carrying a spear. So that's who this is. And the Buddha realized it. He wasn't Buddha yet. It was in his previous life that this person was going to kill all of the people on board and steal their things. And out of the, his compassion, he actually killed the person who was going to kill all of the people on the riverboat. So how is this compassionate? It's compassionate because he recognized that these people would all lose their lives, and secondly, that he would commit the misdeed of killing all of them and would have to have a hell realm rebirth. So by realizing, the Buddha realized that by killing him, he would abstain from this terrible act and not have to experience those consequences. So the Buddha killed him, everyone was saved, and then he was born as a god instead of having the karma of being born in the lower realms, and then was able to become a bodhisattva in that, become later, very quickly later, become a bodhisattva. So he became a god, and then very quickly later became a bodhisattva. So we have these occurrences where we have this is actually compassion, where there is this harming, that's seeming harm that's taking place. So we'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
Mari bane dejitan nilende dan kunju ki rajin la
So number four is ignorance, means possessing the affliction of misunderstanding on account of a mind that is unclear about the nature of the four truths, karma and its effects, and the three jewels. So there is a lack of clarity, a lack of truth in one's mind related to the four truths, the karma and its results, and the three jewels. So that's what ignorance is. So then another doubt might arise, because when we look at the object that brings about the arisal of others' afflictions, we find attachment is a desirous object or an attractive object, and hostility, the object is the observed object is something non-desirous. So what is the observed object of ignorance? Is it the three jewels? Is it four noble truths? Is it karma and its results? So then we have to think about what is that observed object. It's an absence of an understanding of these things. So what is the observed object for ignorance? What is ignorant? You know, that's the question Rinpoche is raising.
What that then... Dosha launch, she don't launch it, the moon launch, soon Jacodua. Naja launch it and Jita launch it and Ayu muse. Tobaro, that
whole launch. There is a way to use attachment as a path, and anger as a path, and ignorance as a path. But can you use pride as a path? Nanjel dong, guys.
Naja launcher. Naja launch it.
So can you use pride as a path?
Tetsun launch it and Ayu.
Can you use doubt as a path? Is there a path of doubt? So are all 10 afflictions, can all 10 afflictions be path? So this is something that scholars look over. You look at this, and maybe you have some kind of doubt when you look at the words in these pages. makes us arise some kind of uncertainty about it, or doubt about it.
So, Demba? Demba,
So number five says doubt means considering those three, the four truths, karma and its effects, and three jewels, and being uncertain whether they exist or are real. So doubt, Basuchuji Jetson says, is being doubtful of truth, being doubtful of karma and its results, being doubtful of the three jewels. So having doubt with regards to these. Let's look it up here, 234.
What dan do jiao kong du ji nga ji ji ma ri ba ta zong ji ca ji dan ji da ro ji da dan ji da do de re zong ji su la ta wa ne nyao ne phong bo la mi ne nyao ne phong bo la mi ne nga da nga ji da 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 ge ta yu shi ro nyu mu jian no sa Tanji Tawa, Dinjita Jisula Tawa, Jisula Tawa, New Orleans Pompous and Nanga Suzuji Pombo, Chu Pombo, Dishi Pombo to the Marbe, Ku, Zuji Pombo La Suba, Pombo Nola Mine, Nata Nayes, Ne Nai Laba, Nai Kamba, Nai Karas, what the Karangai, Kamba Nai, Laba Nai, what the Nila Mine, what the Karsubre. Nai she data dagatayu shiranya mujin wadanjita res dajita.
So going back to number four, doubt, I just went back and looked at the Tibetan. And the reason for the explanation that was just given, where Rinpoche said that doubt is being uncertain about the four truths, karma, its effects, and the three jewels, is because it says in the Tibetan, the collection of truths, the three, it doesn't really have this explanation of the four and the three jewels and karma. It's not in the Tibetan. So that's why Rinpoche explained what Lama Tsongkhapa is referring to when he says the collection of these, the truths, the three, etc. It'd probably be the best way to translate it. And you can see how, just as a translator's note, encoded the Lam Rim Chemo really is compared to the English translation. Because all it says here is truths, the three truths, etc. And then in the English, we have it written out, the Four Noble Truths, the Karma, its effects, and three jewels, but we don't find it in the Tibetan. So then number six, reifying view of the perishing aggregates is an afflictive intelligence that observes the appropriated aggregates and regards them as I or mine, that is, as the self or that which belongs to the self. Here, since perishing means impermanent and aggregates is plural, the terms indicate that what are apprehended are simply impermanent and multiple phenomena. There is no permanent and unitary person. This is why it is called the view of the perishing aggregates. So that's number six. And again, I'm sorry, going back to number five, that commentary that's basically now in the Lam Rim here is by Basuchuji Jetson in that four interwoven commentary text. The NGK Konsu the Demba Ji Dan Gonchu Sun Dan Ledre Trisun. Yene the Buik the Yomare. The
Dembas the Injida Lendre Dan Ninji Gonchu Sun.
Less
then
Yene the Den Demba Sok Sum Kona.
Demba jit what the Demba said non lutero.
Sok Serna.
Demba jis and a jirwa. Tene Tasusia Sudan duva jugurwa. Te taman dua. Denjitan, lenditan, conchus and tamarindua. Ta woluma demba susu said the tamasun de rendua. Denjitan. Titamatel duo maribane, denjetan, lendetan, conchuki, rangilamin lumasi, sheronio mugenos, ta wotele, tesun dote, demba son son seate, demba dejetje, ane nipa lende, somba conchu drendota.
So it connects, Rinpoche is saying the way in the Tibetan that it is it connects number five and four. Number four, you do have the four truths, the three jewels, and karma and its results written out. In number five, you don't. In the text, it just refers back to number four. But it doesn't write them out again. It just says, considering those three, but it does say truth, etc. It's just, it means the same thing, but there's just some addition. So Basu Chuji Jetson clarifies what this is referring to. So the reifying view of the perishing aggregates is defined here as an afflictive intelligence that observes the appropriated aggregates and refined as I or mine, that is, as the self or that which belongs to the self. We have an explanation of the term. Here, since perishing means impermanent, and collection and aggregates is plural, so it says aggregates is a collection, is more than one. So it's impermanent and it's a compound. The terms indicate that what are apprehended are simply impermanent and multiple phenomena. There is no permanent and unitary person. This is why it is called the view of the perishing aggregates. So here Lama Tsongkhapa points out that these things are impermanent and simply multiple, but there is no singular unitary person there. So it's negating this incorrect view, basically. Lama Tsongkhapa is basically negating this incorrect view that grasps at I and mind based on the aggregates, observing the aggregates and so forth, so form aggregate and so forth. So Lama Tsongkhapa negates the permanent singular person and states this is why this view is called this. Perishing means impermanent. Aggregates means a compound or plural. Lama Tsongkhapa not only explains why it is called what it is, but negates its misapprehension. Negates the view that is created that sees a singular unitary person based on that grasping, based on that apprehension, misapprehension.
Taba tang, tzu tawa, and jide kanso nga de taba yin bata guwa res, taba. Tuzu diyo bata guwa res. Tuzu diyo sana maman yuwa re, dada yuwa re, jima yuwa res. Tuzu diyo, taba tabi diyo, maman hami diyo ne. Jai kembo yonchi shi dos, le shi nyebo le. Jai kembo yonchi sayade, to jangor me che kureya re endo sungu tsungu te. Le shi nyebo ne, jai kembo yonchi sayade yore. Taba tabi diyo, maman hami, tuzu otakadu le, jai kembo yonchi ki shi bare sayade yore. Jai kama jadi jari sila uwaro nga ju. Uwa te chongono meche Korea redi shasaka duwate. Tati san san tango di Korea redi shira.
Korea?
South Korea, North Korea, I don't know.
Nine, the Jai Kempo?
Jai Kempo go ti laba re sashi le shi nyimu di yuware. Taba tabi di dang. Tuzu sayada, ngama. Tui tatu yuwaro jiri, ta ngama ni yuware, tata yuware, shugua yuware, taba yuware.
So Lama Tsongkhapa and the essence of eloquence, what is it? Let me just read this first. So number seven is an extremist view. An extremist view is an afflictive intelligence that observes the self as apprehended by the view of the perishing aggregates and regards that self either as permanent and eternal or as a subject to annihilation in such a way that there will be no rebirth from this life into a future life. So this is in the essence of eloquence, we find a response to someone who's called the Chinese abbot, but Dalai Lama said is actually Korean, and it's responding to the misunderstanding, or responding to the wrong view that believes that there was always something before, and there is always something now, and there always will be in the future. So this is a misunderstanding that believes in this permanent person. So Lama Tsongkhapa negates this idea in the essence of eloquence.
Tuzu bangs, then Shema Tanjua meba Chibata Yushiro Yomujan to what the Tatak Teni is, Marva. That jump hang on your low dock, Shinna Joshima Yomaris.
That's so.
What the jump hang on Rabutu?
So it first shows this misunderstanding that it says apprehended by the view of the perishing aggregates that regards the self. So it regards the I as being permanent, as always being there. So this is one view that's negated. And then the second view that's negated is the nihilist view. And that is that there is no past or future life. And it says, or as subject to annihilation in such a way that there will be no rebirth from this life into a future life. So there's two here that are negated. A permanent self that always is, and a self that is subject to annihilation and that doesn't take on a future rebirth and doesn't have a previous life. And that's, the nihilist view.
So
the nihilists believe that it doesn't matter what you do in this life because there isn't a next life. So what you do now doesn't matter. Do whatever you want. So this is so that those who hold that view, that do whatever you would like, this life is the only life, are called the nihilists, and this second point is to negate their philosophical system.
Pombu,
So number eight is a belief in the supremacy of wrong views. Is an afflictive intelligence or an afflicted wisdom, it's translated. It's actually a wisdom that possesses afflictions, something like this, afflicted wisdom. This word possession is in there, though. So an afflictive intelligence that observes one of the three views, the view of the perishing aggregates, an extremist view, and a wrong view, along with a view holder's aggregates on the basis of which such occurs and regards such a view as extreme. So one grasps at his or her aggregates, the form aggregate, and so forth, and then holds one among these three types of views that are incorrect, and then while holding one among those three, believes that one among those three is the supreme view. So the view of the perishing aggregates is a supreme view. Extremist view is a supreme view. The wrong view is the best view or the supreme view. This wrong view depends on the other ones to first apprehend and then believe that those that are apprehended are superior views.
Juba never she be do you dance? Call a ten at that. Call a ten and join you, Pumble of me, eh? Deban daba down. Numable drew a down. Quale, Naban Jimby, Tayu, Shadow Yamujan, what the children of do you chosen is.
Two channels. So number nine is a belief in the supremacy of ethics and religious discipline. Is an afflictive intelligence which observes an ethical discipline that renounces faulty ethical discipline, or a religious discipline which requires certain forms of dress, manner, speech, and physical behavior, as well as the mental and physical aggregates on the basis of which these forms of ethics and asceticism occur, and regards them as cleansing you of sin, freeing you from afflictions, and removing you from cyclic existence. There's many different forms of this, and there's a story of someone who had a yogi or a being had clairvoyance and was able to see that the cow in its next life was going to be a god. The palang, then the garichesong,
the
This person had clairvoyance and saw that this cow was going to be born as a god. So told everyone, if we act as this cow does, and we engage in this type of behavior, then we will be reborn as a god. And then there's other stories of the Shati, and also the owl, those followers of the owl that saw that, and similarly, this owl would in the future life be reborn as a god. So therefore, they all put on an owl skin. And they wore it while they meditated because they believed that if they acted as this owl, then they would be able to have this God's realm rebirth. So these are some examples of forms of religious practice that one believes will result in something that it just will not. So therefore, it's a wrong view because it doesn't, what one believes will happen doesn't. So it's mistaken. So that's what number nine is referring to. So we find in the Nagarjuna's precious garland, where it says that people are like ants. If one starts to go, then the rest of them follow and do what that first ant does. So this is what is meant by this number nine, this following these practices that are wrong.
By
following.
Yeah. Hindu Onshun
So number 10 is wrong view, is an afflictive intelligence that denies the existence of things such as past and future lives or karma and its effects, or believes that the cause of living beings is a divine creator or a primal essence. So these two are two types of wrong view. Wrong view that denies the existence of things such as past and future lives or karma and its effects, and then the other which believes that living beings are caused by a divine creator. So this is to negate some of the Hindu views and other views where there's a divine creator, and then or a primal essence. And this is to negate the Samkhya school's view, the enumerator's view, that there is some sort of primordial ooze that creates the I, or the being. So this is number 10. So then we ask then, based on this, is the grasping at the I as being truly established, then wrong view? Because texts say that it is wrong view. So that's the question. It doesn't say this grasping in here. So Rinpoche is just asking. So then, where do these facts come from? So here it says, I have explained these 10 afflictions in accordance with the compendium of knowledge and levels of yogic deeds, and with Basubandhu's explanation of the 5 aggregates. So this comes from a Sangha's compendium of knowledge and levels, so we find it the 5 treatises on the levels, and then the 2 compendiums. So one is a compendium, one's a treatise on a level, and then Basubandhu, explanation of the 5 aggregates. So is the subject attachment wrong view? Is anger wrong view? So then you have doubts occur. So we look at the definitions, and then by these definitions make us debate.
So wate pōmbi nēnlu mēshēba maribar jāgaduwa. Pōmbi nēnlu sāwa lā dībi maribi mēba, mēba tēki jūshēba tēnē, mēba lē, pōmbu lā dātu trūpa jilās. Nē pōmbu tē wate dātu trūpa jilu tēkirēs, trūpa jilā. Anē tēli nyōmo ba jīgūs, tēli nyōmo ba. Jītā tāng. Mariba susun daba tsukwa wa tendila kuresi ta. Jita da Mariba nchi insi laba ina teni jitun doyna. Doyna ne jita ni nyomo chenji Mariba. Jita kunu nyomo chenji Mariba insi. En teli wate jeba tuzi yung kuresi tendabun daba resungu insi arba.
So Rinpoche said we'll just begin this section. Number two, the order in which the afflictions arise. One way to look at this is to consider ignorance as distinct from the view of the perishing aggregates. For example, when twilight falls on a coiled rope, its status as a rope will be unclear, and someone may imagine that it is a snake. Similarly, according to this view, the misapprehension of the aggregates as a self arises due to the darkness of ignorance, which prevents clarity about how the aggregates exist. The other afflictions then develop from this mass misapprehension. On the other hand, if you hold that ignorance and the view of the perishing aggregates are identical, then the view of the perishing aggregates is itself the root of the afflictions. So we have two ways of looking at it. One, seeing that the ignorance prevents this clarity about how things abide and then causes the reifying view of the perishing aggregates, or you see them as identical, that the ignorance is the reifying view of the perishing aggregates. So these are the two ways to look at it. And then it gives the example of the rope and the snake and how in the example where this misapprehension takes place, ignorance makes you think it's a snake. So that results in the misapprehension. The ignorance results in misapprehension, whereas the second idea is that they're identical.
Jita to Mariba Jitu Debatana Jita ni Nyomuji Mariba is Teon Jidi Dadu Jidi Dene Nga Ramon Juba Dadu Zuma Rajin Susu Jesu Chuba Shilas. Jide nga wo nyabe, nga raja tubi zuye truban zeba nda kanza, deba truban zeba ina, nga tang nijen seyatu susu che yunga res, chuebe, chueba she las. Te che ne, rangi shula, ane tene rang tang jen susu che ne zindu le, ane rangi shula chaba che yunga re, jen shula kondru che yunga res. Jita dosha to kondru ku ju she tang tse di mara.
So on the other on the other hand, if you hold that ignorance and the view of the perishing aggregates are identical, then the view of the perishing aggregates is itself the root of the afflictions. When the view of the perishing aggregates apprehends a self, discrimination arises between self and other. So if the ignorance is the view of the perishing aggregates, then this self is apprehended, this self that is apprehended, and then an attachment to this self, this single unitary self, takes place, and then we establish others, and then aversion towards others can take place. So we have this attachment to ourself that arises from this grasping, this perishing view of the aggregates, and then we label other and then have sometimes aversion towards other.
Jida da din jidun de batana jida ni mari bares ane wat jida ni mari bare jida de ju she bala tene jidi da du zuwa na rajen ni susu choba she la ane tji ne rang shu lan de cha che yung wore ane jin shu la she dang che yung wore mine ane mine sen kiba jila nga je jengu res tenyi la ta chi tu tata re marba tata tata jengu res So
this is saying that in dependence upon the reifying view of the perishing aggregates, all of these other nine afflictions arise. Attachment arises, aversion arises, doubt, etc. All these things arise in dependence upon this reifying view of the perishing aggregates. Pride arises. So it says, once you've made the distinction, you become attached to what is associated with yourself and hostile towards that which pertains to others. As you observe yourself, your mind also becomes inflated, and you have pride. You develop a belief that this very self is either external or subject to annihilation. This is the extremist view when we look back at the different views. Extremist view. So it's showing how this perishing view, this reifying view of the perishing aggregates causes all of these other views to occur. And you've also come to believe in the supremacy of detrimental practices associated with such views. So the view that holds certain religious practices and so and ethics as supreme, ethical discipline and religious practices as supreme. Similarly, you develop the wrong view that denies the existence of such things as things. There I go. Similarly, you develop the wrong view that denies the existence of things such as the teacher who taught selflessness and that which he taught, karma, its effects, the four truths, the three jewels, and so forth. As else, you become doubtful as to whether such things exist or are real. So you develop these wrong views in the view of supremacy of ethical discipline and religious, of ethics and religious discipline. And you have a belief in the supremacy of wrong views, an extremist view. And all of this comes from the reifying view of the perishing aggregates. And then all of the believing these things that exist don't and things that are real aren't becomes a wrong view. And then we have a quote from Dharmakirti's commentary on the Compendium of Valid Cognition that says, once there is a self, there is an idea of other. On behalf of self and other, there is attachment and hostility. So one becomes attached to what is about oneself and hostile towards what is other. All the faults come about in association with these. So once there is this idea of self, this reifying view of the perishing aggregates, then we can have other. And then all these labelings take place where we become attached and have aversion. So all faults come about. So all of these attachment, aversion, pride, all of these come about from this grasping at the I, mistaken grasping at I. Diksum. Sobodu. So in Chandrakirti's Introduction to the middle way, or entrance to the middle way, we find a quote that says, first there is establishment of self, then there is establishment of other. So that we find this in the commentary on the Root Wisdom text by Chandrakirti, Entrance to the Middle Way. The Leyukagi Rinpoche, not the Yure.
Okay. nyomo ba de nyomo bi chue ma lu ba de ji ta le shung re s nyomo chen de ma lu ji tu ta le shung wa lu tu ju de da dan di yu de tu she ne nan ju ba yu da nu go ba she s wo de wo chen ji zhu ba ka du yu de
So I'm going to look quickly in the sixth chapter. Rinpoche is saying in Chandrakirti's Entrance to the Middle Way, we find a quote that explains this. It says, is it an ordinary person? So it's something like the yogi correctly sees, instructed by their masters. You, hold on, we're getting there.
Nyomo jie na ma lun jie su la, da le zhong lu yu zhong ju, da nan di yu de du xin ne, nan ju ba yi da nung gu ba xin si.
So the yogis meditate on the absence of self. So from this idea of self, then other arises, and the yogis meditate upon absence of self. So we'll end there. I'll find it. I don't want to take up any more time. It's just the quote from this text. So I'll get it after, and let's do the concluding mandala offerings and dedication prayers. Okay, let's do this quote. Attachment to one's own belief, aversion towards other, all this is thought. Once clinging and aversion are dispelled through reason and analysis, we will be swiftly freed. Perceiving that all faults and all afflictions flow from the idea of the transitory composite, and knowing that its focus is the very self, this self is what the yogi will disapprove. This is the self that the yogis disapprove, because upon it, upon this view, which is the idea of the transitory composite, the self is created and then other. So that's the quote from the Chandrakirti's commentary on the Middle Way. Perceiving that all faults and all afflictions flow from the idea of the transitory composite, and knowing that its focus is the very self, the self is what the yogi will disprove. So the yogi negates that self, negates the transitory collection, the view of the transitory collection. Okay, so the concluding mandala offering and dedication prayer. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. I dedicate whatever virtues I have collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Lozan Drapa to shine forever. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri Bhadra as well, with whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times. I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. In that pure land surrounded by snowy mountains, you are the source of all happiness. All-powerful Avalokiteshvara Tenzin Gyatso may stay until samsara's end. I pray for the long life of the precious Khensur Wandok, upholder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, spiritual friend who trained extensively in the five great philosophical texts, with exceptional wisdom and perseverance. Tujji Rinpoche, Guzi Shabi Denravan.
Tujji Tujji.